Our prophetic story begins with a woman picking up sticks for firewood and a final meal during a time of famine. I've seen individuals walk 5 miles every single day for a lump of coal to heat water in their lean-to in Haiti, where there was no open door or no open wall. 5 miles a day for one lump of coal to heat for that day's water and cooking. I've been amazed to notice wagons loaded to their heights with sticks being pulled by mules to travel over paved highways in Cuba and in Turkey. I've given out gloves to homeless men and women in Miami, Florida, trying to keep warm when an unusual cold snap came through the area as they sought to live through the hardship of being out on the street. You might remember a news story from 2007 telling of 7 women in Darfur in the Sudan who were raped by the Janjaweed militia. Once they had ventured outside of the refugee camp, outside of the protected area, what led them to be in such a vulnerable situation? They had pulled their money together to rent a donkey and a cart in order to go out and gather firewood, hoping to sell it for cash to feed their families. Juliana Klassens reminds us of Butler's Frames of War, how certain populations suffer from failing social and economic networks of support and become differentially exposed to injury, violence, and death. These groups include the poor, foreigners, orphans, and widows. I hope you've never known such desperation. I know I haven't. But I can empathize. And so I'm taken aback, even a bit offended, when the man of God asked this poor woman for help. How dare he? What gall! What an incredible and selfish imposition to make this request to a poor single mother with only enough food for this her last supper, as she seeks to feed her son and meager together a final moment. Expecting even a little morsel is too large a demand. Elijah looks more like an insensitive jerk than an inspiring preacher, tone deaf to her needs and her dire situation. Maybe you're offended too. It's just right up there with all the things that offend us. Promising God's favor in exchange for money to purchase an airplane so you can continue your ministry. Or as I witnessed just this past Friday at the Boston Road Kroger store, when a man jumped in front of an 83-year-old in line at the pharmacy who had been waiting there for 15 minutes. Donna looked at me and said, "Mark, you shouldn't do that." No, it was somebody else. Or parking in the handicapped slot, even when you're perfectly healthy but just too busy to worry yourself about somebody else. You might even wonder, why is this story in the Bible to begin with? What can we discover from this pushy request? Is there anything there at all to help us? As I've scratched my way through this text, trying to sift through the dirt of its teachings for something relevant, I hope I have discovered at least a tiny morsel of meaning from it. For what if? What if this behavior from Elijah was not an imposition of his willful insensitivity, but instead an invitation toward a reaffirming life of meaning and dignity, even when you've lost everything else? Listen to Mark Strand's lines for winter. Tell yourself, as it gets cold and gray falls from the air, that you will go on walking, hearing the same tune no matter where you find yourself. Inside the dome of dark or under the crackling white of the moon's gaze in the valley of snow. Tonight, as it gets cold, tell yourself what you know, which is nothing but the tune your bones play as you keep going, and you will be able for once to lie down under the small fire of winter stars. And if it happens that you cannot go on or turn back and find yourself where you will be at the end, tell yourself, in that final flowing of cold through your limbs, that you love who you are. Or perhaps this line from one day in the life of Ivan Dasanovich, describing one single day of 3,635 other days suffering in a Russian gulag where the Siberian temperatures could plummet to a negative 17 degrees, knowing that each day could not be faced one day at a time. So instead, you only were able to face one second after another. Declaring, a day without a dark cloud, almost a happy day. In the cold cruelty of circumstances, this poor woman, bending low, facing the dirt, scratching together a few sticks for a last meal with her only son, is our unlikely biblical hero as God looks upon this desperate and hopeless situation and calls Elijah to say to her, you are a person of immeasurable worth and irreplaceable value, and you are never a person so bereft that you have nothing of esteem importance, no matter how small, to offer the world. That's what we call gospel truth. The almost ridiculous proclamation of something good, even when surrounded by darkness and badness and death. Some of you may have remembered Baptist humorist Grady Nutt. He's preached in this church in times past, was an interim pastor. He used to travel around with Greg and Sharon Hancock in the 70s and 80s as they went to all sorts of places, Eastern Kentucky, Arkadelphia, with the road show, singing and preaching and telling young people and the adults they grow up to become this important message. You are a person of worth, created in the image of God, to live and to relate. Does anybody remember that from Grady Nutt? 1, 2, or 3, 4, 5? Well, let's remember it again. You and everyone else is a person of worth, created in the image of God, to live and to relate. Every single soul, precious, Why? Because, as said by others, God doesn't make junk. This widow and her boy, starving and almost near dead, not junk. Californians running from fires and bullets, all somebody else's son or daughter, not junk. The beautiful boys and girls growing into adults with life-threatening addictions are not junk. Desperate folks walking thousands of miles with their children in their arms and nothing more than the clothes on their back with a glimmer of hope in their hearts are not junk. Young people struggling for acceptance and affirmation because of sexual diversity or minority status, not junk. The veteran whose life's vitality seems to be disappearing with every passing hour and who may be locked away with never a thank you, who has suffered more death and loss than any of us might be able to imagine, are not junk. The homeless looking for a handout, not junk. The hungry visiting a food pantry, not junk. The passer through stranger looking for help, not junk. These are not throwaway items. These are persons created in the image of God with immeasurable worth to live and to relate. This table, our Lord's Supper, His Last Supper, a little juice, a tiny morsel of bread. It's not a feast, but it's enough. Telling every single one of us, people of worth created in the image of God, that we have all received sufficient grace and blessings and thereby have something, no matter how small it may be, invaluable to offer the world. Because each life has worth and dignity. Each life has something to give. Here comes the prophet. He sits right down in the frozen mud of our hopeless surrender with us and says, never, never believe that you have nothing that you can offer. A reminder, in such an age where people are treated as nothing more than bots and blips and ploys and plots and pawns or votes, that we are far, far, far more. With John Wesley's famous instructions ringing in our ears, do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you ever can.